This morning, if you would, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the Old Testament, to Malachi chapter 3. We've been talking about worship and we need to refresh our minds. I want you to keep in mind that when you refresh your minds, we need to make sure we are refreshing our minds continually about worship. And the reason I say that is because this last week I didn't think much about it. We sang in the services, and boy, my throat hurts from it because you got 300 people in there singing, and they're singing with almost the top of their lungs. I mean, they were in full-hearted worship to God, and I tell you what, that's the way we should be singing here. We don't, you're excited about something. Do you whisper your excitement to somebody? Oh, I'm so excited. I just won this beautiful car here. No, you announce to everybody, don't you? And you might, if you, your name is draw, they had a grand prize drawing there. And I was not part of that. I was too busy running around. But name was called and then everybody would clap for somebody. But, when you win a prize, you get excited. Our hearts should have that same sort of excitement. But throughout the week, I felt the pressure of trying to get these things done and such. And that's what daily life is, isn't it? You got to go to work and get things done there. You go home, you have to take care of things there, or make sure you're spending time with the family. And in all of that, we forget, what should I be doing? I need to be bringing glory to God. I need to be in worship. So what do I do to worship? Well, I can sing. I can make a joyful noise. I can sing. Or dance a little. Really get excited. I could pray and fast. I could spend time serving others. But is singing and praying and serving worship? No. Not if it's not done with a heart of worship. God would get mad. Here in the book of Malachi, we find that God wants to throw up on Israel. He doesn't want their sacrifice. He wants their sacrifices, but their sacrifices are foolishness. They're empty. It's like you go to the boss and you say to the boss, how great his plan is. And the only reason you're telling him is so you're hoping that you get a little boost when it comes to your interview for whether or not you get a pay raise. You would rather have a sincere compliment, wouldn't you, than you would to have somebody just tell you something you wanted to hear. You'd rather have a politician tell you a promise he intended to keep than just something that might be nice to hear, right? Here they serve God, they give Him, they honor God. How do they honor God? Well, they honor God by giving Him sacrifices. He doesn't want their sacrifices. It says, I get sick of them. Why? Because it's not out of the heart. John chapter 4, verse 24, those who worship Me will worship Me in spirit and in truth, in sincerity. Where is our heart before God as the week goes by? We must worship God. It is built into us by the image of God. It is not only built into us, we are called to it. And not called to, well, you go wrong, make your sacrifice and off you go. But to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We think of worship, we think of singing, we might think of prayer and spending time in God's Word. We might think of all kinds of acts of service that we can do to honor God, whether it's here at church or amongst our neighborhood. But one thing I think we do that we rarely consider an act of worship, and that is giving to the Lord. Giving to the Lord. We can give in time. We can give in our energy. But you see something happen in Genesis chapter 14 that's a little different. It is there that we see that Abraham, after winning a victory, coming and meets up with Melchizedek. Melchizedek is the priest of God. And he sees him. He says, I'm going to give a tenth of what I have to you. Why? Because he wanted to honor God. It was a thanksgiving, perhaps an idea of thanksgiving to God for what he did in providing the victory. Not much farther you go and you see Jacob did the same thing to the Lord. If you bring me back, I'll give you a tenth of what I have. I looked for a few statistics. I found that the Barna Group did a study in 2012. And the research showed that 5% of adults tithe. 5% of adults tithe. Give a tenth, whether it's to church or charity. And among born-again Christians, which includes both evangelicals and non-evangelicals, that is, those who call themselves Christian, some sort of experience with God, 12% tithe. Now, that means that of the Christians, as this study was done, you have 88% of the people do not tithe. That's sad. What does that show, though? It shows where the heart is. They continue in the study and they say, finally, most American donors still give when they feel content and ready to give. For most Americans, giving is a luxury or a nice thing to do, but it's not typically viewed as necessary. While the economy and donor outlook continue to show signs of improvement, it would be a tragedy if donors did not reevaluate the overall basis of their giving. That it's not just an extra thing to do for the tax benefits, but rediscovering the truest meaning of generosity. We can look throughout the Bible and we can see sacrifices take place. Adam and Eve, sacrifice given there, probably in view of atonement. We see Cain and Abel, they brought sacrifices, whether for atonement or out of gratitude to God for what He has provided for them. We look a little further, we see Noah, and he gives offering after the flood. We go all the way to Moses, and you see then the sacrifices are prescribed for them, what they were to do. In between Noah and Moses, you see Job and what he did as a matter of offering. In all of those, you see offering to God. And all the way up to the point of Moses, there is a necessity for it, for atonement, I believe, as demonstrated with Adam and Eve. That is, Adam and Eve, they sinned, and because of their sin, the atonement needed to be made, and so the animal sacrifices were done. But along with that, you see other occasions where maybe out of just pure worship or in thanksgiving, there was offering made to the Lord. What about us today, now in our New Testament age? How do we look at giving? We look at giving in various ways, but the way that we should see it, the way that we should see it is that it is an act of worship. Giving is an act of worship. In Malachi chapter 3, I find here, starting in verse 8, will a man rob God, God says, yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation has. What a tremendous statement to make. God looks down on His people and says, you've robbed me. Now, let's keep everything in perspective. The Jews were under the Old Testament law, the Mosaic law, the law given by Moses. It was given by God, but written by Moses. In that, they were to give a tenth. Every so often, they would give one-tenth of what they had and give it to God as an act of worship. And this giving, what it did, you can look here in verse 10, bring all the tithes to the storehouses, and there that there may be food in my house, and prove me in this now. He says if that was to help maintain the temple. Now, I could tell you real easily that it is it would be real simple for us to look at now and say, so what are you giving to the Lord? Y'all need to make sure you're giving one-tenth. If you don't give it today, then you're out. But that's not what the passage is about. The passage here isn't about worship. What kind of worship were they giving to God? The sacrifices that they did give, as we look the rest of the scripture, the book of Malachi, the sacrifices they were giving were heartless. They did not have the meaning behind it. Understand, the temple is newly built. The temple and the walls are newly built. This is occurring during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. And sacrifices had started up, but God says, no, you're not doing it right. These would be acts of worship. I don't want you just to obey, just to say you did. It's more this last week, it was mentioned a couple times by Brother Tim Jordan. In suffering, as Christians, we should still have joy. First Peter tells us why. But he said, the joy is not, all right, I'm 50 now, because I'm supposed to be in my suffering. No, that's not what it is. See, there's true joy even in suffering because of our connection to Christ. Let me ask this question. Does God need your money? No. He doesn't need your money. He could take it from you. And perhaps in your lifetime He has on occasion. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't use money for Him to go down to the grocery store and buy something. God doesn't need your money in order to start a church somewhere. He doesn't need your money. And all God's people said, amen. I was hoping to go outside. I was hoping to go and have lunch on my way home today. He doesn't need your money. But we have to understand that it gives honor to God. It's an act of worship. Any act of worship gives honor to God. When I look at the scripture, I see in Abraham, Genesis 14, when Abraham gave that to Melchizedek, it was to give honor to God. When I look at the other ways that even David, when he gave sacrifices, and Solomon, remember when the temple was built? If you use a little bit of imagination, you see a wide river of blood flowing from the temple. Because there are thousands of sacrifices given to God. Why? Because Solomon was not commanded to give those sacrifices. He wanted to worship God, so he gave above and beyond and more abundantly than any other man to give worship to the one true God because of what God, who God is. And what celebration they were taking. Right. Look back in the New Testament. We read this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And as I do, I see here that God, He wants us to give each one as He has purposed in His heart. Not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I look through the entire New Testament. I don't see that we are commanded to give a tithe. Do you know why? The command is to give here generously. With a heart, an open heart that wants to honor God, honor Christ. I look at the Old Testament and I find a principle. The principle is this. 10%. Is it a command? It's not a command. It's a pretty good suggestion. There's a good way to put it. I know zero of what anyone gives here. How much it compares. Sometimes I'll get something in the mail. But other than that, I know what none of you make. I know what percentage none of... I don't know the percentage of what any of you give. Some of you may give 10%. Some of you may give 30%. Some of you may give 2%. But as I look at the Scriptures in 2 Corinthians, it says here, it says, let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Not grudgingly. Oh, gotta give my money. Nor of necessity. Well, if I don't give, how's it going to work? God loves a cheerful giver. As I look at the Scriptures here, going back to Malachi 3, I see that God here, I see it's an act of thanksgiving as well. It expresses that it's an act of worship. It gives honor to God. It expresses thanksgiving. And you know something else it does when I look at the Scripture? It tells you where your trust is. Paul tells Timothy, warn those who are rich not to put their trust in their riches. Anybody here, don't answer out loud, just think to yourself, thoughtful thought. Am I worried about eating anything for lunch today? Am I worried that I'll go home, now open the fridge, and it will look like the Rittmiller boys have been there. And the only thing that's left is peanut butter, a jar of peanut butter, and dog biscuits for the neighbor's dog. Am I worried about that? No. In fact, I'm not really. What I'm going to... worried about what I'm going to eat for the rest of the week. Well, you're not. I am. Grocery shopping isn't until tomorrow. I don't think any of us are concerned about that. We're not really concerned about if we'll have enough gas to get back and forth. Or not necessarily concerned about what it's going to take to get through the end of the week. Because we know we have a paycheck coming or have received our paycheck. So, where is our trust in God's provision? It's not. It's in the paycheck we just received or are going to receive tomorrow. You see what I did? I showed, I think, maybe to you, that we tend naturally to put our trust in what makes this world go around. The money. You know, when we give to the Lord, we show that we trust Him rather than ourselves. We always need to be on guard and make sure that our trust is not in what we have, but in the one who gives us what we have. Who has provided the job for you? Well, I did all the work. No. By the grace of God, you have the job that you have, the income that you have. How can I show God my thankfulness for what He has provided for me? I can give back to Him just like Abraham did. And along with this, I see God says to those that were under the law, you've robbed me because you haven't given to me. What do I find in the New Testament? I don't find that command. Why? What happened in the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit came? Everybody decided by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit working in their lives, you know what? This is just stuff. And if you need some of my stuff, it's not my stuff, it's your stuff now. We have the missionary house, and the missionary house was used this last week by Brother Moon and his wife from Missionary Acres. We go into the house, 10 o'clock, last Sunday night, 10:30, go into the house. And I declare to him, I said, this is now your house. Anything in it, you can have. You can eat it or watch it or whatever's in there. There's a thermostat in here. This is your house. Play with the thermostat the way you want to play with it. Why? Because it is an opportunity for us to minister to them and give them the full use of that house. What happens when we look at somebody in need? How do we respond? When we want to honor God with the things that we have, how do we respond? It's an act of worship, and we need to do so as honoring God, expressing thanksgiving, and showing that we trust Him rather than our riches. Now I look here and see that worship and giving provides for God's house. How do we keep the building here maintained? How do we keep the doors open? How do we make sure the lights? If you just take a moment and think, I think it's three bulbs are in each one of these lights here. And there's 18 of them. 18 light bulbs in your house. You ever look at your house and say, what in the world? Why are all these lights on? Waste all this electricity. There's probably more light bulbs in this room than there is in your whole house. Unless you like your house very well lit. And we look at it, wow, that probably costs a lot of money. You know, God provides, and He uses you to provide. He has provided for this church in a tremendous way. But think about what we do here at this church. In verse 10 of Malachi 3, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. There was food then for the Levites to eat and maintaining of what was going on there at the temple. Here, in our context, when your tithe, what does it do? Well, we've got the facilities that we do. We also do salaries. My salary, the salary for the janitor, the salary for missionaries. No. Always full salaries, but we give in order to help them in the work. We use those facilities, provide needs for the. We use the your worship and giving in order to provide needs for church members if that's needed, or for a missionary or organization like Whispering Cedars. Some of the ministries that we have, Awana is an expensive program. I bought four Sparky Awards. And that wasn't too bad. It was the shipping that killed us. You know, and it's $50. And you think, wow. But we do that because we want to encourage the kids. Look, you know, you did a great job. You got a great reward in heaven. But sometimes it's nice to get a pat on the back here on the earth as well. I look at the scriptures and I see here that God has a need in His house, and you provide that when you give. But your giving ought not to be, as we read this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, of necessity. That is, well, I have to do it now. Someone's got to keep the lights on. No, it's an act of worship. It's a voluntary act of worship. Verse 10 through 12. What happens when I give to the Lord? I remember back when we were young, just newlyweds, only been married a couple years. Do you know what it's like to be married only a couple years? You don't eat a lot. The longer that you're married, the more you get to eat. That's kind of one of those blessing benefits of it. We were one of those typical married couples where we were both working a job, and we had to save up for McDonald's. Almost. Not quite, but pretty close to it. We just didn't have a lot of money. And then, when we got pregnant, she got pregnant. I didn't get pregnant. That'd be a little weird. But when she got pregnant, well, I had already told her before we got married, you're pregnant, you're done. You're not working anymore. My mom stayed home, sacrificed a lot. We can make the sacrifice to do the same thing. So she quit her job. I went to my boss and said, look, I need a little more money or I need a different job. And it wasn't, I guess one hand it was quite a little more, but I didn't make a lot of money still. People said, well, how did you get along? I said, well, we don't have cable or TV. Which is just like, they couldn't believe it. What do? Well, you study for school. That's what you do when you're in seminary. Well, we made the sacrifices that we needed. And in that, we gave to the Lord. How often was it in writing a check to say, you know what we could do with this extra money? Nothing extravagant, like, get ourselves a boat or so, I don't know. Buy ourselves a mansion. By the way, extra 10%, buy myself a mansion. It wasn't anything that way. It had to do with the fact that we said, you know what? God has been faithful to us. We'll be faithful to God. The numbers didn't add up, but in the end of the month, we even had money left over. How does that happen? Well, I open up Malachi chapter 3, and I see here in verse 10 that God says, test me in this, says the Lord. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there is not enough room for you to receive it. He speaks here and tells me that, you know what, if I give to Him, He will provide for me. I see here that God, worship and giving brings God's blessings. I find, I go back in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Each one is to give. And in verse 8 it says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, have an abundance for every good work. You'll have what you need. Like one reason that God has blessed us as a church is that as a church, in our constitution, we have written that 10% of what comes in must go to missions. We do 20% to missions. By the grace of God, He has provided for us. Through you who have realized that, you know what, I need to show God that I love Him. I need to be wise with what I have, but I also need the Lord to honor the Lord, and so I will give this much because God has laid that on my heart. Whether you're looking at what you have, and maybe it's not 10%. If it's what the Lord has laid on your heart, good. If you look at your life and you say, well, I could give far above and beyond 10%, and God has laid that on my heart. whether it's directed to the church or you say, I want to give above and beyond for the Raising the Roof campaign, for camp, or for scholarship, for people to go up to camp, or whatever it might be. Maybe it's not related here. Maybe it's a terrific ministry on the radio that you want to honor God with that for. Your giving your earthly possessions is a matter of worship. Now, some people have said this is an investment plan. God here has promised, He says, He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out on you such blessing. And so they make promises. If you send in your $20 today, I can promise you that by the end of the week, God will give you $100. Where is that here in the Scripture? It's not. And nothing says that the blessing here is necessarily financial. I've seen it happen, but I've seen it other ways in my own life also. Sometimes it's not a matter of earthly giving, but you see God do something that is some sort of other blessing that happens in your life. Sometimes it's not immediate. And the gift, the return of blessing could be eternal. We're looking at what worship is over the last few weeks, and we'll do another final one next week. And in doing that, understanding what worship is giving glory to God. And in giving glory to God, I ought to be asking myself every day, many times during the day, how am I giving glory to God? Sometimes we like to do what I find almost irritating, is to take a product and slap a cross on it and call it Christian. And we do that in our own life. Well, neighbor needed help in his yard, so I went over and helped him in his yard. Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. That's an act of service. Well, we just kind of stick the label on doesn't mean it is. But if we truly want to honor the Lord in everything we do, our hearts will be right there. Do you remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31? It tells you whether you eat or drink. We all eat 8 or 9 times a day and drink something even more often, right? Do I do it for the glory of God? Am I opening my Bible in the morning or in the evening, and I reading and studying His Word because I want to learn more about Him and I want to give Him glory? Am I spending time in prayer so I can make the check mark in my daily devotion book? I prayed for them. Who else? Oh yeah, I better pray for them. Or am I seeking to honor God with all that I am? When I go and spend time in fellowship with somebody, or I give offering, whatever I do, am I doing it for the glory of God? Am I striving to worship for Him? Look, God is the one who works in your heart, whether it has to do with tithe and your giving that way, or it has to do with spending time in His Word, or going and sharing the gospel with somebody. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and our lives. I'm not going to call you to on your way out, make sure you drop something in the offering box today, because that's not my job. That's what God does. I've opened the Scriptures to you. You can see what He says. Whether it's something that you've done or will do is up between Him and you. But don't do it unless you're going to do it as an act of worship to Him. whatever goes in that box. I see almost nothing. I never see what goes in that box. Sometimes I'll get something, well, every month we get something from the bank, but sometimes it's something extra, and I will open it up. There's checks copied in there. And I look at the first statement, how much is in the bank. Okay. And then I fold it up. Because it's not for me to know. It's between you and God. It's an act of worship. I know what comes in generally, but your individual act of worship is between you and the Lord. Giving is an act of worship. And what you're giving provides for this for His house, whether it's ministries directly here at the church, or as we support missionaries or mission agencies. And it's also something that brings blessing from the Lord. Anytime we honor the Lord, whether it's in giving or any other act of worship, we find that He responds with His love and His kindness and His blessing. Make above and beyond, I want you to consider this as we close this morning and then prepare for the for communion. I want you to consider, am I worshiping the Lord? Each day. How can I worship Him? Whether it's a song in my heart, or it's an act of service, or comes around Sunday and it's something in the offering plate, offering box. Whatever it is, that I might honor and worship Him continually. Father, I ask that You would help us, each one. I thank You so much for each one that's here. I pray that You would help us that our hearts and minds might be focused on worshiping You. Well, Lord, we always do so here in our service and singing. And Father, I ask that as we sing and worship You, that You will receive that praise. Father, for those that this week put their offering to You in the offering box, that Your hand of blessing will be upon them, that it will be an act of worship. Father, as we spend time encouraging and enjoying fellowship with one another, the kind of godly fellowship that encourages us, whether it's fun stories or sharing Your word, that we might do so in order to give praise and worship and glory to You. Father, I ask that You would work in our hearts, that we might worship You with all of it. And I ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.